Thank you. Appreciate that. I'll try to put that somewhere so I can keep track of the time. It's our pleasure to be down here once again visiting you. Bring greetings from Chattanooga, not that far up from here. I got a lot of stuff to cover today, so I'm just going to get started. It's my hopes and prayers that we will grow together today and that God will inspire us to become better Christians. For those who would like to have titles and your note takers today, the title of my message is Deserve versus Receive. I'm going to repeat that. Deserve versus Receive. What do we deserve? Have you ever asked that question to yourselves? Well, what do I feel like I deserve? Perhaps it's more money. We could all deserve to have a little more jingle in our pockets, so to speak. A better job or a job. You know, there are people who are unemployed. A job or a better job. Perhaps we feel like we deserve a little more happiness. I mean, in this world today, there's not a whole lot of happiness that we see. Perhaps we deserve a little more happiness. How about affluence? What people think of you. How people respect you. How about we deserve a family? I think we're a family here. But how about we can deserve, or do we think we deserve a family? How about a better one? You got a family, you might think I need a better one. And I kid on that. More skills and gifts. I mean, we could use some more skills and gifts always, right? We should deserve that. How about life without P&J? It's not peanut butter and jelly. I'm talking about pain and suffering. Life without it. Sure. It'd be nice to deserve something like that. Peace. I think we could deserve to have some peace in a chaotic time that we live in today. Sometimes we can even get things. We get things, but it's not exactly what we had in mind or thought we deserved. And we sit here and we ask God, really? Really, God? I asked for this, but I received this. I don't feel like I deserve this, God. After all, God, I have lived your way of life since I was baptized. I started to keep your Sabbath day, as you have outlined in your Bible. I give 1/10 of my income to your work. I keep 1/10, as you instructed, for your holy days. I keep your holy days. I understand the meaning of your holy days, and I keep it. I help people. I provide. I give money. I'm generous to many people. As I see people on the corner of the streets, I help them out. I give my time to people. Somebody who's not going through a good time in their lives, and they have a disfigured face because I can see pain on them, I go over there and I ask them, hey, how are you? I do that, God. I even help an old widow lady who needs more bird feed in her bird feeder. She can't get there. She's struggling to put bird feed in her feeder. I even do that. I take time to stop and I help her out. I do all these things, God. Don't I deserve something? Or don't I deserve a little more? Don't I deserve something else? These are questions that anybody has. Anybody can have questions like this. I know I have. But it's imperative that we understand one thing. It's imperative we understand this. You're probably already there. You and I deserve nothing. Right? You and I deserve absolutely nothing. But at the same time, we do deserve something. Well, wait, so you just told me I don't deserve nothing, I don't deserve anything, but yet I deserve something. Death. Right? I'm not trying to be morbid here. But what does the scripture say? For the wages of sin is what? Death. Yeah, I see you guys moving your lips there. That's found in Romans 6:23. We deserve death. For the wages of sin is that. Let's take a twist here, okay? Stay with me. But what have we actually received? Okay? What have we actually received? Let's kind of go through a list that I've have here. How about life? Life. Man, what a blessing. Let's turn to Job. If you have your Bibles today, let's turn to Job 12 with me. Let's read something that Job came to. An understanding that we should come to when it comes to the blessing of life. Job 12, starting in verse 9, it says this. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? What has it done? In whose hands is the life and of every living thing? And the what? The breath of all mankind. We deserve death. We deserve nothing. But yet we have received life, right? Clothing. Let's get down to the basics. Clothing. What a blessing for us to be clothed, right? You know, we wouldn't want to be running around here in the buff. Food. I mean, you take some time to look at other countries. You go look at other countries, they don't have it, or they don't have a lot of it. But yet, I saw trays of food coming in here. What a blessing. This country, okay, America, as much as it has gone downwind, changed a little, not in full agreement to the founding fathers' way of life, it sure is a blessing to live here. You ask somebody who was raised in another country, such as my parents. They spent about 20, 30 years there in backwoods India. And then they come and live here. They have a different perspective. But I was born here. So I don't have that perspective. I've grown accustomed to what this land, that I feel God has blessed, has given me, right? And along with that, freedom. Freedom to meet here today. Go try to meet in the Middle East and talk about the things we're about to talk about. Not going to happen. FGM. What's FGM? Here it is. Forgiveness, grace, and mercy. FGM. Forgiveness, grace, and mercy. We receive that. Let's turn with me in to Psalms 103:10. I'm going to be reading about God's grace that's talked about here by David in the 103rd chapter of Psalms. I'm going to be reading out of the NLT version. I'll be reading out the NLT. Starting in verse 10, Psalms 103. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. That's what the NLT says. He does not deal harshly with us as we, what? As we deserve. FGM, forgiveness, grace, and mercy. The Word of God. We receive the Word of God. We have an opportunity Everybody have a Bible, has a Bible here. That's not so in a lot of places. You can't have this in some countries. But today we have it. And to those who want to get into it and read it, you have the opportunity to do so. The truth, that precious great pearl of price that Mr. Doss and I, Ted, we were talking about, and Mrs. Doss too, as we were talking on the way down here. How many people have, what did we say, traded that great pearl of price for the fluff? The lies of who? The enemy, right? Talents. I mean, we received so many talents. There's a bunch. There are talents and gifts in this room today. You may not know. Okay? You may not know the talents and gifts that are in you, and you may have recognized some, but there are talents and gifts here in each of you today. James 1:17 is a profound scripture. I'm going to read it real quick. I'll just turn there and read it, but you can jot it down for note takers. James 1:17, you're probably already ahead of me. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. From who? God. Comes down from the Father of lights. I'm going to use the acronym again, FNF. What's FNF? Family and friends. We receive that. We deserve nothing, but yet we have each other. And we have family. And we have friends. And most importantly, what we have received is this, the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, our King, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Am I right? Do we deserve that? Do we deserve the life of a God? But yet it was freely given. It's freely given to us. I asked myself this question recently, which is what started this whole message. I hope to, you know, get you guys to feel this, what I'm preaching about today. I asked myself this, how could I have ever earned the grace of God? Why did I ask myself that? Because I thought to myself, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner and I've done things. And I still slip to this day. How could I have ever earned that God's mercy and His grace? Think about what things you've done. Grace and mercy is there for you. Ephesians 2:8. Good book of Ephesians. Paul writes this. I'll give you a second to turn there. It's very critical. Ephesians 2:8. Paul says this. For by grace you and I have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. Nothing I could have done to earn this. Nothing you could have done to earn this. It is what? It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. But what does the enemy like to do? That cunning, that vile, that putrid serpent that slithers around? What does he like for us to do? To focus on what we think we deserve, what we think we should have. He wants to fill us with lies. He wants you to think that you deserve more than what God has given you right now. Come, follow me. Come, follow the world. And you can have it right now. Okay? It's all lies. It's all filthy, nasty lies that he's trying to get you and I to believe. And he won't deliver on it. You go and try to have some pleasure or whatever he might try to attract you with today. The end result is you're in a horrible state. How can that be beneficial? The key to all this is this. When you and I, okay, I'm throwing I in here. I need to do this. When you and I start to grasp the depth, the breadth, and the width of God's love and mercy, when we start to comprehend what we deserve, which is what? Nothing in death. When we start to comprehend what we deserve and what we actually have received, you stop living and serving God out of obligation. And you start living and serving God out of gratitude. You stop living and serving God out of obligation. I have to do this. I'd like to hang out with you Friday night, but you know what? I have to be in at sunset. Or I'd like to eat some of that food, but I have to adhere to some laws. I'd like to have some more money in a not legal way, but I have to be truthful. I have to not look at that. I have to not go there. But it changes when you start to get this. It changes to I want. I don't want. I want to keep the Sabbath. I want to be honest. I want to be moral. Stop living and serving out of obligation and start living out of gratitude. And hear me out on this. If we are here and we're living a life out of obligation, we're not doing anybody any good. If you're here today, if I'm here today, and I'm serving and I'm doing things because I feel like I have an obligation, if I don't do this, God's going to be upset with me and He's not going to give me things. We're not doing any good. We're not doing each other any good. And we definitely are not doing God any good. So what does God deserve? What does God, the creator of the universe, the creator, sustainer of you and I, the one who gives you everything that you have today, what does He deserve from you and I? Doesn't He deserve the best that we have? Your best. My best. Does He not deserve the glory? Does He not deserve the glory? Psalms 29:2. You read through Psalms and you read David's writings. Man, it is filled with glory, with David's glory, glorifying of God, and he expounds upon it in a lot of different scriptures in Psalms. Psalms, the 29th chapter, 2nd verse. Give unto the Lord the glory. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Revelation 4:11. Revelation 4:11. I'm going to get the thumbs moving today as we flip through the Bible. I don't have too many scriptures, but I got enough. Revelation 4, starting in verse 11. Well, I was looking at 5. It says here, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive what? Glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. You're not here by time or chance. As much as the scientists of this world wants to tell you that you are an occurrence of chance, you're here because of the will of God. You're existing today, right now, because of the will of God. He is worthy to receive all glory, all honor, and all power. The God, the Father we choose to serve, out of gratitude, He deserves committed, passionate, and zealous people on fire. Nothing less. Nothing less than compassionate, zealous, and committed people. Not lukewarm. Not lukewarm, not barely alive, just kind of floating through life in neutral. No. I know how it is to float through life in neutral. I'm coming to church. I'm going to camp. I'm going to winter family weekend. I'm enjoying all these things. Floating around in neutral. Not on drive. Not with that pedal to the ground. Right? But He deserves better from me. For what He's done. And He deserves better from us. He deserves compassionate, zealous, committed people. He deserves all of us. Doesn't He? He deserves all. The good. The good so He can do what? Use it for His glory. 2 Timothy 2:15. If you will. 2 Timothy. As Paul's instructing a young, up-and-coming minister here and servant. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are we diligent about that? When we give all, if we are giving all, are we diligent about presenting ourselves approved? He also deserves the bad. What? 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 Well, He deserves the bad. Why? Because He's going to want to change you. In and of ourselves, we cannot change us. Those things we struggle with, that every human being has struggled with, which Christ understands the struggle, He's going to want to show you how great He is by handing over what's bad in us, by surrendering all, so He can get rid of it, He can change it, and it'll be for what? His glory. His glory. Proverbs 23:26. I'll just quickly go there because I know I've been getting you guys flipping around the word. Solomon says this, and he's saying this instruction to his son. But let's kind of look at this as if God, as if this has been inspired by God. He's saying it to us. He says this in Proverbs 23, verse 26. My son, my daughter, give me your heart. Give God your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways, my wonder. If you give it all to God, all you got to do is sit back and watch Him work and Him do amazing things in your lives. But what has God received from us? That's a tough question, right? And that's something, you know, as you have time, should reflect on what God has given, what He deserves, and what He has received from us. You know, Adam and Eve in Genesis, they were created. They were nothing. They happened to be. Adam was created out of the dust of the ground. Eve was created from Adam. They were given everything in this world. All the land, all the fruits, all the vegetables, all the cocoa beans that you can turn into chocolate. Everything was under their dominion on earth. They were given so much. But in time, what did they give to God? Right? What did the enemy fill their minds with? You deserve knowledge like God. God's holding back from you. You deserve this. Come, take of the fruit and receive knowledge. Right, wrong. They had everything. They were given so much. But yet, what did God receive from them? And let's not think that if... How could you, Adam and Eve? I mean, you couldn't last a little longer? Well, if I... Well, we should stop ourselves right there, right? Would we have acted any differently? In Genesis 4, there's a story about Cain and Abel. We're familiar with the story. Cain and Abel had to bring what to God? A sacrifice. A sacrifice. Abel brought what? The best. Abel brought the best. But what did Cain bring? I mean, secondhand. Hand-me-downs. Here, God, have this. It's not the best I have. God didn't accept that, did he? Sure didn't. The last time I checked, and we're going to turn to this scripture, I'm going to summarize right here. We are to present ourselves, our lives, our body, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. I'm going to be reading out of the NLT, New Living Translation. I'm going to Romans 12. Romans 12. You don't have to turn there, but let's hear how this translation goes, because I feel like it's very beautiful. Romans 12, starting in verse 1, in the New Living Translation says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, okay, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of what?" The NLT says this, "Because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find," who? God, "the kind that God would find acceptable. This is truly," here it is, "this is truly the way to worship him." Has he received our best? Just asking questions right now. You can answer it by thinking about it. Has he received our best? Have we totally surrendered to him? Or are we still holding parts of ourselves back? Right? I mean, I know I have. I kind of want to hold things, but I don't want to give it to God. Because I feel like I can do it. Or I don't want this exposed. Has our life been a blessing to the one who gives us everything? To our Creator God? Has our life been a blessing? Nehemiah. Nehemiah 8:6. Ezra says something here that's pretty remarkable. Nehemiah 8, verse 6, says this. And Ezra, he did something. He did something here. He blessed the Lord, and the great God. Then all the people answered, "Amen. Amen." While lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads, and they worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Ezra, the people of Judah, as they were coming out of captivity again, they did what? They blessed the Lord. Have we done that? To be totally committed, to be passionate, to be zealous to God, you and I must be totally surrendered. In order to be totally committed to God and to say we are a committed people, we have to be completely surrendered, the good and the bad. James 4, 7. You guys are getting a workout in the Bible today. James 4, verse 7 says this. Therefore, submit. Therefore, surrender. To who? To God. Not out of obligation, but out of gratitude. The last section here I want to discuss with everybody. It's going to be a little interesting, but it's a question we all have to ask. What does the enemy deserve from us? Right? What does the enemy deserve? That slippery, slimy serpent? He deserves absolutely nothing. Not one inch. Why? There's a saying, it says this. If you give one inch to the enemy, he'll take what? A mile. Yeah, I hear it. He'll take a mile. He doesn't deserve you and me. No. He doesn't deserve you and I. Believe that. But he wants us. Right? He wants us. He desires after us. So he can take more sons and more daughters away from the family of God. That's why he wants you. That's why he wants me. He doesn't deserve us. Here's a question. What has the enemy received? We've kind of laid out what he deserves, which is nothing. But what has he actually received from us? How much time of yours and mine has he received? How much time have we spent in here jumbling around with thoughts and with ideas that are not from God, that are not approved from God? How much time has he received from us that we should have been using somewhere else to glorify God? Have we at times been his servant? In moments of our lives, have we served him? I mean, we can only have two masters. It's either God or it's the enemy. Have at times we served him? Bear with me on this one. How much celebrations and parties have we given the enemy to have on our account? What do you mean? What do you mean celebrations and parties? When we have failed, when we didn't even put up a fight, when we didn't have trust and faith in our great God, when we weren't ready, and when we were not passionate, driven, committed, how much celebration he received or opportunities to party? I got him. I got him. I got her. I got him. Yeah, let's celebrate. Come on, everybody. He's jumping around. Now he may not be doing this. I get it. I understand. But he wants to celebrate the demise of God's people. I got him. Ha ha. Yeah, I got her. not give him that opportunity. What entrance, what open door policy have we allowed the enemy to have in our heads, in our minds? That he would have a hold so strong that at times you and I feel like that we can't do anything else but be an angry and hostile person. That we can't do anything but be perverted. That we can't be anything but cheaters. That we can't be anything but drunk. A liar, a sexually immoral person, a hater, a despiser, a negative, a depressed person. What kind of hold have we given the enemy into our minds? That we fight against these things, and sometimes we give in. Paul stated, the great Paul of the Bible, he stated this, that which I hate, I do. And can we not at times understand where he's coming from? Because we've given an open door policy. We've cracked the door just a little bit for the enemy to come in to where God should be. What lies has he filled you and I with? And what have we believed? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. And no wonder. And no wonder, for Satan himself does what? He transforms himself into a deceiver, an angel of light. He'll come around in sheep's clothing to each and every one of us and spit out lies, filthy, nasty, empty lies. And unfortunately, we might believe it. He is the father of all lies. Don't believe him. Don't believe him. You know the word. You know God's truth. You know the answer. Ephesians 4, verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27. It's important. Nor give place to who? The enemy. Don't give him a place in your mind. Get him out of your mind. How? Surrender all to God. Submit to God. Understand what he's done for you and I. And live your life knowing that we deserve nothing. Yet he's given all. Don't give the enemy any more of your mind. The enemy, he does not deserve you and I. But he wants us so he can destroy us. Don't give him a second. Thoughts come in our minds. I know how it is. Thoughts come in. Idle times. Don't give him an inch. Don't give him a second. Get it right out. Remove it. Don't give him the opportunity. I'm going to read from the NLT in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5. Here's a warning here for us. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. Watch out for him. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Why? Because he wants you. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember this, that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. Have some hope in that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, verse 4. Keep this in mind, my friends. You are of who? You are of God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Why? So what's the point of this whole message? After all, I really haven't given you guys, you know, a list of things to do, you know, an active thing to do, like, you know, if you're feeling you're struggling through this or this way of thinking, here's this. Try this. I suggest this. You know, what did I hope for myself when I prepared this? Because when I prepare things, it's something that I believe is dear, near and dear to me, and that I'm thinking about and I'm passionate about at the time. My hope was to provoke some deep and meaningful self-examination. Some deep and meaningful worship. And in turn, a recalibration of our minds and our perspective on our lives. To hit our knees, you know. Sometimes I think to myself when I'm praying, I'm sitting down on a couch and I read through scriptures that talk about, and he, this character, this not character, this person in the Bible, real life person, he dropped to his knees and he bowed his face towards the ground and he worshiped God and he prayed to God. And I'm sitting on my leather couch, all comfy, and I'm praying. Really interesting, right? But we got to get on our knees. And we have to ask God to show us where our perspective has been wrong. Where we have lost focus. And where we have let the enemy get in and to close it. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything but death. True. But the grace and mercy of our Lord, our God, should lead us, again, to live our lives not out of obligation, but out of gratitude. And that'll take some time. Don't think here, you know, don't think that I'm just saying these things and, but boy, somehow that I did this one night. One night I had a solid night of praying, and now I'm starting to live a life out of, you know, of gratitude. It's going to take time. It's going to take self-examination. It's going to take recalibration. God deserves the very best. Well, I think we can all agree to that. God deserves the very best. He deserves totally committed, passionate, and zealous people. And to be that type of person, we have to be fully surrendered to Him, the good and the bad, for His glory and His will, not ours, for His glory. What? Let Your will be done, God. Our lives should be a blessing to God and to those we come around. No question. And the enemy does not deserve you. The enemy does not deserve a second of your life. He doesn't deserve a second of my life. Not an inch, not a thought. Bring all thoughts into captivity. Don't let him in. Don't give him any ground. He doesn't deserve us. Absolutely not. It's time for us, my friends. It's time It's time for us to come into a more deeper and more meaningful place of worship to our Lord, to our God, and to our great King. Forty-five minutes on the dot. Nice.